small businesses were long-term, but they weren't permanent. We think that's important for growth and certainty.
Today, before the White House press briefing, Mark Short, the Director of Legislative Affairs, had a chance to discuss some of the obstruction, in his words, going on regarding getting cabinet picks confirmed.
At the EPA, Deputy Administrator Andrew Wheeler, he was nominated 152 days ago. So this level of obstruction is beyond historic.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy, but at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Both Democrats and Republicans are praising the Trump administration for slapping tougher sanctions on Russia, calling it, quote, a positive step after concluding that Moscow had meddled in the 2016 presidential election. Congressman Mac Thornberry shares what he believes the president is doing by imposing tougher sanctions.
Well, I think he is sending a message that what Russia has been doing across the board is unacceptable.
Despite a low unemployment rate and increasing wage growth, Americans still are not saving much. That's according to a new survey from Bankrate.com. This survey found that over 40% of Americans have less than $10,000 saved for when they retire. Dave Ramsey is the CEO of Ramsey Solutions Incorporated. He explains what's going to happen if you have very little saved.
It's going to be difficult. I mean, you're going to be buying that cookbook, 72 Ways to Prepare Alpo and Leavitt. I mean, Social Insecurity is $1,100 a month, man. I mean, this is no picnic. This is no cakewalk. And so you've got to prepare.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Earlier this week, tens of thousands of high school students participated in National School Walkout Day. Now, this was to honor the victims of the Madre Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida, and protest gun violence. Well, two Erie, Pennsylvania Catholic high schools, however, decided to do something a little bit different. Cathedral Preparatory School and Villa Maria Academy decided to hold a mass and a prayer service for the victims. Father Scott Jabo is the president of the schools, and he joined Fox News to explain the students' actions and why they chose to do what they did.
We decided that as a school, what we could do is something different. By praying for the victims, we could bring a great focus to the victims in this situation, and by a prayers and unified prayer, we can be a powerful impact on the situation. What we plan to do is actually have mass together, and in the context of that mass, have a prayer service whereby students will, 17 of our students will step forward and read the names of the 17 victims from the Parkland shooting. They'll read their names and a little biography to make it real to all of us who will be in attendance. These are real people who died. And then we will offer them up in prayer and we'll pray for an end to school violence.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg. The Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for today shows that 47% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. That means 52% disapprove. The latest figures include 31% who strongly approve, while 42% strongly disapprove. For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You may have heard of chicken cacciatore, but Olive Garden apparently, at least one, had problems catching a chicken outside their restaurant. In Augusta, Maine, a chicken running around outside an Olive Garden parking lot was finally caught. Police received quite a few calls. One eyewitness observed police apprehending the chicken, who ended up crossing four lanes of traffic on a nearby interstate. I think there's a joke in there somewhere. Three grown men running across the interstate. It was priceless. They were going to save it. They were not going to give it up. It's all about saving the chickens, ladies and gentlemen. Police released a photo of the chicken on their Facebook page alongside a tongue-in-cheek description of what happened, including how the fowl had a craving for soup, salads, and breadsticks. The chicken is now in the protective custody of Officer Brad Chase. I think they made this up. Who keeps chickens as police attempt to find the original owner? The chicken does not appear to be sick or injured following the incident. Thank goodness the police weren't either. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with Janice Kaplan. She is the author of How Luck Happens, Using the Science of Luck to Transform Work, Love, and Life. Janice, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Great to be with you.
So, let's define our terms to begin with. What exactly is luck? Is it definable, and how does it play out? Is it really just a complicated series of forces that influences us one way or another, or does it come down to something more mystical than that?
Well, I think one of the great fun things about writing this book was turning the definition of luck on its head a bit, because I think often we think of luck as being random chance, right? Something that just falls from the sky and you just kind of sit back and wait for it. But as we came to see luck, it was much more in your control and much more something that you could build and create. So I would define luck as having three strands. One of them is indeed that random chance, but put that aside for a minute because you can't do a lot about it. Let's look at the other two strands of luck. One of them is talent, and by that I don't mean you have to be Meryl Streep. Talent includes an ability to recognize opportunities, to see the possibilities out there, to take chances, to network, to do all sorts of things that can help you build that luck. And the third strand is hard work, and hard work is hard work. So when you take those together, when you put the talent and the hard work together, you tend to be able to create your luck. You don't have to worry so much about the random chance then, or if certain good events do happen randomly, you're prepared for them and able to take advantage of them.
Do the totems that we traditionally associate with luck, you know, a rabbit's foot, a four-leaf clover, what impact do those have on getting to what you have defined scientifically as luck?
Well, in terms of actual activity, I don't think a whole lot. But really, if you feel good about having a rabbit's foot in your pocket and it gives you some confidence and it gives you some optimism and it gives you a positive feeling, then that's a really good way to create luck. Because one of the things we found out is that, we spoke to Marty Seligman, who's one of the most famous psychologists in the area of positive psychology. And he said that if he were looking for the one trait that would most define a lucky person, he would pick optimism. Because when you have that positive attitude, when you think you're going to be able to make things happen, you're more likely to take advantage of opportunities. You're more likely to try something that's going to turn into luck. And so, yeah, if one of those little rabbit's foot or rubbing a horseshoe gives you that confidence, go ahead and do it, but know that it's really the confidence and the positivity and the optimism that's creating the luck for you.
We're speaking with Janice Kaplan. She's the author of How Luck Happens, Using the Science of Luck to Transform Work, Love, and Life. Let's talk about bad luck for a minute. For people who seem to be in a rut, seem to be hitting just a bad streak, especially psychologically, because you've outlined some of the things you can do to move towards good luck, but sometimes you get in a real rut and you get yourself down, and that kind of drives the cycle. How do you get out of that when you're in that particular psychological place?
Sure. Well, you want to be able to turn bad luck to good luck, and you're absolutely right that sometimes when you're in the midst of a bad situation, it's hard to see how to do that. I spoke to an astrophysicist at Princeton named Pete Hutt, and he had the idea of what he called the hill climbing strategy. And he said, try to imagine yourself moving away from yourself, climbing up a hill and looking down, because then you're able to see all the possibilities around you. When you're in your own little spot there, you feel stuck, you don't see where you can go. But if you can try to give yourself that perspective of pulling back and seeing all the paths in many different directions, then you go, wow, okay, I can move somewhere. There's a story that I love about the author Lee Childs, a best-selling international author of the Jack Reacher thrillers, whose books were turned into movies starring Tom Cruise. And Lee told me that he only started writing those books after he was fired from his job as a television producer. Hmm. He had been a television producer. He expected to be in that job forever. There was a change in management. All of a sudden, he was without a job. He had a wife and a kid and a mortgage and a car. And he was furious and angry, as anybody would be. But he decided, well, I'm going to try to see it as an opportunity. I'm going to try to do something now that I wouldn't have ever had the courage to do before, because what can it hurt? And he started writing those books that became so hugely successful. Now, not everyone is going to be Lee Child, and when you start doing that, you don't know that you're going to become an internationally famous author. But I think it's a great example of when you're in that bad luck situation, thinking about, how can I see this as an opportunity? How can I try to turn it around and find the positive?
We're speaking with Janice Kaplan, the author of How Luck Happens. Speaking of childs, how do you raise lucky children?
Well, there are so many things that you can do to let children know that they have opportunities and that they have control of their life. I tell a story in the book about being out watching a bunch of little girls. They were about 7 or 8 years old, and they were at a softball practice, and they lost interest in the game, and they decided they were going to go look for four-leaf clovers. And so they went off looking for four-leaf clovers, and of course, it's hard to find a four-leaf clover, so most of the girls gave up. But there was one little girl who kept on, and she was not going to give up until she found that four-leaf clover. And sure enough, she found one. She called out, "I found it," and all the other little girls raced over and said, "Oh, you're so lucky, you're so lucky." Well, that little girl was resilient, that she was persistent. She was not going to give up. And if we can teach our kids that, that's a great way to create luck. Because the more at-bats you give yourself, the more chances you give yourself, the more times you're willing to say, "I'm going to try this one more time and see what happens," the more likely it is that you are going to be able to make something good happen.
You can't give a kid enough four-leaf clovers, as far as I'm concerned. We've been speaking with Janice Kaplan. She's the author of How Luck Happens, Using the Science of Luck to Transform Work, Love, and Life. Janice, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye. Well, here's something a Maryland church is offering. that I think we could all use, salvation, and a car. The Destiny Church in Columbia, Maryland, handed out 5 used cars to demonstrate God's goodness and to attract new members. The church gave away cars to increase attendance at its new location. Free cars would sure help, I would imagine. It was the first Saturday at a building in a strip mall for the 7-year-old non-denominational church. Pastor Stephen Chandler said the predominantly African-American church normally draws up to 1,100 people. This week, the church gave away 2,250 tickets in advance of the 3 services. That is some faith in the Lord. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy 2, get 1 free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the Lico Chops.
Try Lico Chops. Buy 2, get 1 free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
This report is brought to you by Nature's Bounty. Legendary gold medal figure skater Dorothy Hamill is partnering with Nature's Bounty to champion a movement towards better health and to unite people on one thing everyone can agree on, that no matter what, we're always better off healthy. As a professional figure skater, mother, breast cancer survivor, and advocate for children with disabilities, Dorothy is using her unique experience to encourage others to be their best healthy selves.
As a professional athlete, I have always made a strong commitment to my health. In partnering with Nature's Bounty, I want to inspire everyone to take that leap to focus on being healthy now, so we can be prepared for all of life's big celebrations and victories, along with those small everyday moments, which truly make life special.
For additional inspiration, including more tips on how to stay healthy inside and out, visit www.naturesbounty.com and connect with us at facebook.com/naturesbounty.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And now, it's the news.
Well, an Australian family found a very interesting message in a bottle indeed. A family in Perth, on the West Coast, found a bottle with a message that was 132 years old, dated June 12th, 1886. Tanya Illman saw the bottle and thought it would make a neat decoration on her bookcase. The note inside, however, disclosed the bottle's intended purpose. German seafarers asked discoverers to record their coordinates and the finding date before returning the bottle and note to Hamburg's German National Observatory or the closest German consulate. Amazing. The note was apparently part of an almost 70-year experiment by the Germans. It included thousands of bottles and messages discarded into oceans in order to chart currents and find quick shipping channels. Over 650 notes have been found and returned, but the message discovered in Australia was the first found since 1934. 84 years, ladies and gentlemen. There's still some floating out there. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Sometimes we like to go a little far afield of our typical political satire and get into some fun stuff, and we're doing that with a movie that's coming out this week. The name of it is The Strangers Pray at Night. The star is actress Christina Hendricks. She is from Good Girls and Mad Men and stars in this thriller, which opens nationwide this Friday, March 9th. 2018. Christina, thank you so much for being here. Wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So the thing about horror movies is this. I got to start with this question. When everyone in the theater is shouting, "Don't walk in that room," why did you walk in that room?
I know. It's the endless question, right? But that's why we like watching these movies, is because we want to shout at them and we feel like we're on a roller coaster. We're like, don't do it, don't do it. And they always do it, don't they?
I know. So based on what I'm seeing about the plot of Strangers Pray at Night, it seems to me that a secluded mobile home park is not a particularly safe place to be. Is that a correct assumption?
This particular trailer park, I would steer clear of. That's my recommendation. But, you know, this is a sequel to The Strangers that they made 10 years ago, which I thought was one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. And it's a very similar premise. And to me, this is the scariest kind of horror movie because it's people messing with you just because. There's no reason. You didn't do anything wrong. They're just coming to mess with you because they're bored. And to me, that is the absolute scariest thing that could happen.
You know, I almost wonder, I have this ongoing fantasy in the back of my head that perhaps one day on a national political level, we would wake up and think that it was all a dream, so that somebody was just messing with us in some similar way. But I fear that it is not to be. I wonder if you share that.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. It was all a dream. Don't worry, it was all a dream.
So in terms of this, The Strangers Pray at Night, how would you compare working on Mad Men versus encountering actual Mad Men as your character does in this movie?
I love that segue. Well, yeah, entirely different. I feel like I'm very lucky. Each project I've done has been sort of completely different from the previous one. So that's that's a gift as an actor to get to try and do all sorts of different genres. And Good Girls was completely different from Mad Men as well. And I'm up in Canada working on Tin Star, which is entirely different. So I'm pretty darn lucky, I have to say. It was fun to go to Kentucky and get the crap scared out of me for a little bit.
That's fantastic. What is it like working on the set of a horror movie? There's got to be something of a disconnect, as I suppose there is on most sets, knowing the intense horrific effect that what you're doing is designed to have on screen, and then, you know, seeing the cameras and the lights and everything. How do you stay in that frightened frame of mind when you're in the middle of a scene?
You know, it's very interesting because I've never worked on a horror film before, and as an actress, you're thinking when you watch them, oh, well, certainly they're not actually scared because they know there's a camera right there and they know that this is fake. But I'll tell you something. When when you're in a scene, if you want it to be good and realistic, you know, you really have to put yourself in that moment. And I got absolutely terrified making this movie. And at one point, they failed to cut and I started crying because I was
wow.
So filled with fear. And then I was sort of laugh crying at the same time because I knew it was ridiculous. And yet the feeling was so intensely in my person that I couldn't help it. So then I just looked like a crazy lunatic person laughing and crying at the same time. But you'd be surprised how scary it can be.
I believe it, and from everything that I've seen in the trailers and the screener here, boy, I think you convey that effect. So thank you very much for that. We've been speaking with Christina Hendricks. She is the lead actress of Strangers Pray at Night. She was also has appeared in Good Girls and Mad Men. Strangers Pray at Night opens nationwide this Friday, March 9th. Christina Hendricks, thank you so much for being with us today on Now It's the News. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It's so nice to talk to you.
A woman in the Florida Keys, a retiree, there are a few of those in Florida, has won the women's division in the Key West annual conch shell blowing contest and accepted a marriage proposal from a fellow competitor. 70-year-old Mary Lou Smith won the contest by some long blasts on the fluted pink-lined shell, that's a conch, and then 73-year-old Rick Race proposed on the stage, and she accepted. They joined together in a joyous conch duet. You can imagine what that must have sounded like. Or can you? What you can do on a conch. Conch shells have been used as signaling devices in the Florida Keys for centuries. Native-born islanders are called conchs, and the Keys are nicknamed the Conch Republic. Someone should tell them about telephones and the internet. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
How healthy are your gums? Research shows that harmful bacteria and plaque that lurk below the gum line can have a bigger impact than you might think. So how can we take better care of it? Dental hygienist and Crest and Oral-B Smile Council member Deborah Carrier tells us.
Especially as you get older, you're more and more prone to gum disease. The beauty of it is gum disease is reversible. It's not that hard to take care of if you catch it early. And just by having good habits with brushing and flossing and using the tools that we have available now, such as this new Crest Gum Detoxify. It has a specially formulated activated foaming ingredient that allows the toothpaste to get underneath your gums, and this foaming agent helps to neutralize that harmful bacteria. Studies actually show that 99% of all gingivitis patients showed reduced gum inflammation and bleeding in just 8 weeks after using Gum Detoxify.
Pick it up nationwide for $6.99.
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump has mentioned on more than one occasion that he would like to do a phase two regarding a tax cut. We all know the $1.5 trillion tax breaks that he signed into law in December. He likes to talk about and he likes to tout, and it seems to be helping many Americans. Kevin Brady is the House Ways and Means Committee chairman. He explains a phase two of a tax plan.
It will lead with permanence. The tax cuts for families and small businesses were long-term, but they weren't permanent. We think that's important for growth and certainty.
Today, before the White House press briefing, Mark Short, the Director of Legislative Affairs, had a chance to discuss some of the obstruction, in his words, going on regarding getting cabinet picks confirmed.
At the EPA, Deputy Administrator Andrew Wheeler, he was nominated 152 days ago. So this level of obstruction is beyond historic.
This is USA Radio News.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens Trimetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you. Right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Well, we saw many interesting things happen at the Oscars this last week, and one of them was Allison Janney, who won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her role in I, Tonya. And we're very pleased today to be able to speak with veteran producer, screenwriter, and the writer of I, Tonya, Stephen Rogers. Stephen, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's so nice to hear Academy Award winner Allison Janney.
Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that cool?
I hear you guys are close friends, too.
I've known Allison since I was 17 years old.
Really?
We went to the Neighborhood Playhouse. Yeah, we went to acting school together. I never went to college. That was my version of college. So I've always known how great she was. And I've always written parts for her, but she's never gotten to play them. And so on this one, it was a spec script, which means no one was paying me to write it. But if people wanted it and wanted to bid on it, then I had more power. And the first thing that I did say was that Allison Janney was going to play the part that I wrote for her, mm-hmm. and I wanted it in writing, or I wouldn't go in to meet anybody.
And
I actually said that before Allison had even read the script, or said she wanted to do it. I was just determined to get her.
That is so cool. So, I mean, was it that connection that brought you to this? How did you become involved in writing the story? Or were you just looking for it and it finally came to you?
The jumping off point for anything that I write is always sort of what's the point of it and what are you trying to put out there. And I happened to see this great documentary that Danette Burstein did on 30 for 30 about Tonya Harding. And they were just thematically, there are elements to it that interested me about class in America and about what we tell women they're supposed to be and truth and the perception of truth and what we tell ourselves in order to be able to live with ourselves and how we try and control and change our own everyday day-to-day narrative. You know, so there were just things in it that I felt were really interesting. I thought it was a really funny story, a really crazy story, and it was true depending on whose point of view you believed.
We're speaking with Stephen Rogers. He's the writer of the Academy Award-winning movie, I, Tonya. That really is a key part of it. And by the way, I should mention that I, Tonya, it arrived digitally March 2nd, and on Blu-ray it's going to be out on March 13th, so make sure to pay attention to that. The truth and what it really is and where it really lies and who the story happens to be told by is certainly a big part of the way that you put this production together, the way you laid out this story, being told by multiple storytellers, both Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding and Allison Janney as her mom. When did you make the decision to approach it that way? How did that come about?
You know, I interviewed Tonya Harding, and then I tracked down Jeff Galuli, and I interviewed him. And when I did, their stories were wildly contradictory. They did not remember anything that happened the same way.
Wow.
And then when I researched it, you know, Sean the bodyguard had his wildly different version. And so did, you know, the coach and the mom. And so I just thought, well, I'll put everybody's point of view up there and let the audience decide what they think happened.
Yeah, and it ends up probably coming closer to, I mean, basically you're letting everybody's stories clash, and the fallout is what the audience takes from it, which I suppose they would do anyway, even if you told it linear, in a linear way.
Yeah, and I think it's very human. I think that people do try and control the narrative, and they do try and get their version out there because, you know, an event can happen and everybody will see the same thing differently because we all carry our own baggage to that event, you know. So truth and the perception of it is a theme that really runs sort of deep in the movie.
Yeah, one way or another, it seems clear to me that, one, Tonya Harding was an amazingly talented person. Two, she was surrounded by really questionable, shady people. And three, she had an incredibly difficult upbringing. I mean, those are all made blazingly clear in the script that you put together. And regardless of the specifics of who knew what when and who stabbed who or if anybody stabbed anybody, that really comes across. And you're right. It strikes me as a commentary on class in America, told from the perspective of someone who's kind of been on the losing side of all of that in several different ways.
Yeah. What I liked about, I mean, look, she's a very polarizing figure. But what I liked about Tonya Harding was that she was sort of a very unapologetic redneck, and that's her word. She calls herself a redneck in this sport where the judges want their skaters to be a very sort of pageanty, old-timey version of what they say a woman is supposed to be, and she just said, I'm not doing that. I can do the triple. They got to give me the medal. You know, I admired that, and she never apologized for who she was. I mean, her big crime, really, for them was being poor, you know, and she didn't apologize for it.
Right, and it interests me when I saw the movie for the first time that really, there was very little from the perspective of it was about Tonya. Like Nancy Kerrigan, really didn't come into it too much, and I think that's appropriate because it wasn't so much about the event as it was about like who this person was and how she and the people around her dealt with the event and how it did or didn't happen. And so I appreciated that. We're speaking with Stephen Rogers.
He's Maybe the sequel will be I, Nancy.
There you go.
This one is I, Tonya.
That's right. It would be a different movie. We're speaking with Stephen Rogers. He's the writer of the Oscar-winning movie I, Tonya. It arrived digitally March 2nd and will be a Blu-ray March 13th. Having talked to these folks, the key
and
players.
See it in the theaters right now.
Absolutely. It is still around. I've got my movie pass, and I saw it that way the first time, and I'm looking, and it's still around, and I may circle back for a second viewing, and I urge folks to do it because it really is it's a unique movie in the way it lays stuff out. Having talked with Nancy Kerrigan, I'm sorry, having talked with Tonya Harding, having talked with Jeff Galuli, and the key players here, How do they respond to everything that has happened since? Like, where are they now emotionally and mentally with all of this?
I think Tanya is happy that her point of view, her story, is at least out there, because it really kind of wasn't before. I think that the media reduced everybody to a punchline, you know, and we were just told this person is the villain and this person is the princess, and it didn't really go any deeper than that. So I know that, you know, there were things about the movie that Tanya loved and there were things that she didn't love, but she was happy that at least partially her point of view is out there. Jeff Galuli, I don't think really understood why I was even telling the story. He was thinking, it was so long ago, who's going to even be interested in this? I haven't talked to him since the Oscars, but when he did see the movie for the first time, and he was not in a big hurry to even see it. You know, I think he's just moved on, and he doesn't feel like he's the same person. And, you know, he went to jail, and did his time, and he moved on. When he finally did see the movie, he emailed me, and he said, well, I like it way better than Hope Floats, which was another movie I wrote and so did I.
Cool. It's interesting. I guess he was in a position where he could move past it, but Tanya Harding, being who she is, it's almost impossible. I mean, she's going to be a part of that no matter what.
Public eye.
Yeah.
And Jeff is not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Stephen Rogers, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Again, he's the writer of I, Tanya. Please go to a theater to see it if you haven't. It's a really unique movie and a uniquely told movie in theaters, digitally, on Blu-ray, all out this month. So please go and see it. Stephen Rogers, thank you so much for spending the time today. A great pleasure speaking with you.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
This report is brought to you by Nature's Bounty. Legendary gold medal figure skater Dorothy Hamill is partnering with Nature's Bounty to champion a movement towards better health and to unite people on one thing everyone can agree on, that no matter what, we're always better off healthy. As a professional figure skater, mother, breast cancer survivor, and advocate for children with disabilities, Dorothy is using her unique experience to encourage others to be their best healthy selves.
As a professional athlete, I have always made a strong commitment to my health. In partnering with Nature's Bounty, I want to inspire everyone to take that leap to focus on being healthy now, so we can be prepared for all of life's big celebrations and victories, along with those small everyday moments, which truly make life special.
For additional inspiration, including more tips on how to stay healthy inside and out, visit www.naturesbounty.com and connect with us at facebook.com/naturesbounty.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce.
building business, one business at a time.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with Elaine Weiss. She's the author of The Woman's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. It's a story about the battle for the vote for women in 1920 and what led up to that. Elaine Weiss, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Derek.
So I thought I knew pretty well the general outline of how the fight for the 19th Amendment played out, but I'm learning by reading your book that it's a lot more complicated than I thought it was. First of all, tell us a little bit, if you will, about the background for the fight, what led up to the proposal, and then a passage by Congress, and the passage by the states of the 19th Amendment. Primarily, I learned that there was a very powerful a female-led anti-suffragist a movement. That is something that I was not aware of. Explain a little bit about that, if you could.
Yes. So when my book opens, it is the summer of 1920, and the 19th Amendment, which grants the vote to all American women in every state in every election, is poised on the cusp of ratification, has to be ratified by 36 of the states, having gone through Congress, and now 35 have ratified it. It needs one more, and the fight comes down to the legislature of Tennessee, and they might be the 36th, or they might not, and that would actually be devastating to the suffragists. So this is the culmination, sort of the Alamo of the whole movement. The movement, the demand for the vote has been going on for 72 years by 1920.
Right.
There's three generations of women who have been fighting for it, hundreds and hundreds of state and local and national battles. The what we call the 19th Amendment was introduced 42 years before. So it's been a very long slog with many, many battles in between. And now it comes down to this historic confrontation, and you have the suffragists come from all over the nation to Nashville for the fight. You have political operatives from the political parties come down because it's a presidential election coming up in November of 1920, and they are nervous about this unpredictable block of women possibly entering the electorate. You have corporate interests who are opposed to women getting the ballot for business reasons, which I detail in the book. And there are ideological foes. There are clergymen who think this will be the downfall of American civilization and goes against God's plan for women. And then you have this fascinating cohort of women who are called the antis. These are the women who oppose their sisters getting the vote. And they have a variety of reasons. Many times they're religiously or culturally conservative and believe women's place is in the home and the vote is going to corrupt her and will destroy the American family. So there are all these reasons, all these contesting forces pile into Nashville in the summer of 1920, and it's this very dramatic 6-week fight that I detail in the book.
It's interesting that it takes place in Nashville. Certainly in this day and age, you would think of that as a locus of cultural conservatism. What was the tenor of politics in Nashville at that time, especially as regarded the rights of women?
Well, Nashville actually turns out to be an interesting state. It's certainly not the dream state for the suffragists. It is a southern state, and by this time, most of the other states of the old Confederacy have defeated the 19th Amendment. They've refused to ratify. And there are racial aspects to the arguments against it. There are cultural arguments in the South. And so this is not a great place for the suffragists to have to stand their ground. That said, Tennessee is considered more progressive than some of the other states in the South. And it also has a strong suffrage infrastructure. It has many strong women organizations that are fighting for it. So in some ways, it's atypical of the South in that it is more strongly pro-suffrage in some ways, but it represents the South in many cultural and political ways. It's also the center of industry, so the railroads are very strong there. The liquor industry is very strong there. The textile manufacturing industry is very strong, and they all oppose suffrage and try to act their will on the legislature, and that's the fight that we see happened before our eyes in Nashville in the book.
We're speaking with Elaine Weiss. She's the author of The Women's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. Just backing up for a moment, something that you mentioned earlier fascinated me. I hadn't realized that you had a 40-year span between when the legislation was introduced, the amendment, and when it was finally ratified by the states. When did the Congress finally end up passing it, and what were those 40 years, two generations, really like?
Oh, yeah. It is an amendment to the Constitution. There are two ways for women to be granted the right to vote. The power of the vote resides with the states. Right. They can make election laws. And, of course, we see that happening right now as different states decide on different means of access to the vote. So it's the states that can decide, and some states do, but it's quite clear that not all states are going to give their women the vote. And the a constitutional amendment to make it broad across the board, across the nation, is introduced into Congress by Friends of the Suffrage Movement in 1878.
Wow.
And it gets just put in a file drawer. Every year, the suffragists march up to Capitol Hill in Washington, and they testify, and they plead, and they explain why this is only simple justice, that they are equal citizens, that they are taxpayers. This is taxation without representation. They give all the very well-considered arguments, and the congressmen look at them and say, oh, that's nice. They put it in a drawer, and then they go through it again the next year. This goes on for over 40 years. Finally, after World War I is the time when women have proven their service. They've served the nation in many ways they'd never served before, as in the industry, as farmers. They've taken on roles they've never taken on before. And now the argument that they don't deserve the vote is really getting hollow, and even the men are realizing this really is not right. And so there's more momentum in Congress. There's also a few states, like large states like New York State, California, Washington State, Illinois, where the state legislatures have given women the vote. And so now there are a few women who actually can vote for president and sometimes for their congressman. So they have a little bit more sway. And so finally, the House of Representatives, the Congress passes the amendment in 1918, but the Senate still sits on it for another year and a half and does not pass the amendment till June of 1919. And it's an off year, and the legislatures in many states are not in session. And that means they have to call special sessions. They make it particularly difficult. But they've done this. The suffragists have gone to every state and rallied, held rallies and parades and lobbying, and they've gotten 35 states. And now this is the 36th, and everything comes down to Tennessee.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's a fascinating story. I don't want to give too much away, but a spoiler alert, the suffragists win. So but it really.
But
is.
I want to make it so that you don't realize it.
Yeah, no. I get that, and to me, the fascinating part is the political battle that takes place in Nashville and the real, you know, political and media circus that becomes. And I urge folks to get the book and check that out, because it really is an amazing tale. Elaine Weiss, she's the author of The Women's Hour, The Great Fight to Win the Vote. Thank you so much for being here with us, and thank you for filling out the education that I only received partially growing up. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Dan.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at @NowItsTheNews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Pick up 2 bottles of Super Mega Fish Oil.
Get the 3rd bottle free, packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Dogs love it. Try Super Omega Fish Oil.
Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, during the White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders said there would be no immediate personnel changes. She also expanded on all this talk of changes coming in the White House.
Our focus is not on a lot of the news stories that you guys would like us to be focused on, but we're actually focused on what the American people want us to do, and that's to come here and do our jobs. General McMaster is a dedicated public servant, and he is here not focused on the news stories that many of you are writing, but on some really big issues.
At least 6 people are confirmed dead after a 950-ton pedestrian bridge at Florida International University collapsed in Miami-Dade County yesterday. Miami-Dade Police Chief Juan Perez spoke earlier today at a press conference.
Right now, we just want to find out what occurred, what caused this collapse to occur, and people to die.
This is USA Radio News.
Listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again. It feels like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just a completely different man. I'm taking this stuff to the grave with me.
Men, have you lost energy and gained belly fat? Are you feeling stressed out? Fight back with Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to increase your testosterone. For over a decade, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger. Go to Andro400.com, Andro400.com, or call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435.
Jeff Flake has a direct message for the Republicans of New Hampshire. Someone needs to stop President Trump. Senator Flake said today in his first political appearance in New Hampshire he has no plans to run for president, but he also has not ruled it out either. Flake gave his speech at a college in New Hampshire. Many Americans started seeing more money in their paychecks beginning on February 1st. This was all due to President Trump's tax cuts. Peter Thiel was the founder of PayPal back in 1999, and he also worked as the CEO of eBay until 2002. He joined Fox Business to talk about how he believes these tax cuts are helping the economy and corporations.
It's basically designed to make taxes on American corporations more competitive globally. So you can say that's a way to compete globally, but it's also to be aware that things are not always an even playing field, and that we had gotten to the point where U.S. corporations were paying among the highest taxes in the world. And so if you're going to be globalist, you have to reset them.
This is USA Radio News.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match. Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And, of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes